Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today's Thursday, February 6, 2014. My name is Sally Baptist. Thank you for tuning in tonight. This is our weekly show, Smart Talk, Elections 2014, Know Your Candidates. We are focusing on the elections on Thursday night, and Sherry Smart will explain in just a minute. We did have a guest, but there was a double booking, so we're going to talk about some other things to do with the election tonight. And Neil Rice, Sherry Smart and Neil Rice are the hosts for tonight, and Neil Rice will be joining us momentarily. But as usual, I have to talk about a few other things before we get going. You know, if you wanted to summarize the whole situation our country faces, there's too many issues and too little time. And, you know, right now this president, dictator, is what I prefer to call him, is running wild with these executive orders. And it's like, you know what, if Congress doesn't do what I tell them, then I'm going to make my own laws. And now we have these progressives in the House of Representatives, and I'm trying to remember the one lady's name. You may remember it, Sherry, who's out there saying, well, here's a list of things. We're just going to start writing up executive orders for him to sign. We're going to, since we can't get anything passed in this House the way we want it, we're going to tell the president what executive orders to write so we can make up all these new laws. I mean, is this not tyranny? I mean, absolutely crazy is all you can say. And then, of course, the IRS situation, the tyranny, the ongoing. And, of course, but the president says, oh, that's no big deal. There's no corruption.
There's not a smidge of corruption, not a smidge.
Not a smidge, yeah. that too. So, you know, it's like the craziness of it all. And then the one thing that I have to say, I was really disappointed, and I'm hoping that it's not true. I'm going to try to disprove this one. I heard that Ben Carson is supporting amnesty.
Oh!
Ben Carson, I thought he was going to be really different than, you know, it's like, oh, please don't tell me he's supporting amnesty. I'm hoping that that's not true. Because if that's the case, then he's, you know, the GOP will be able to attempt to manipulate him on their side, the GOP establishment stuff. So that was really, I want someone to prove to me that's not the case.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want to do that. So, you know, what do you think about all this craziness between the IRS, the games that they're playing? They're the last ones that should be trusted with any of our money. And it was something with that Lois who's out there doing something else now. And then all these executive orders. I mean, the nerve, you cannot call this guy a president. He's not a president. He's a dictator. That's what he has become.
No, absolutely he's a dictator. And, you know, I was sitting here watching Krauthammer earlier talking about what the IRS has been doing and basically comparing Lois Lerner to Al Capone. You know, she's this expert, but what kind of expert exactly is she? Is she just like Al Capone was an expert? And why hasn't anything been done with her?
Well, you
why
know,
she just popped off the face of the earth? Why? This is the thing I find so frustrating, Sally. There's no accountability anywhere in our government. I'm talking about local, all the way to the top. No one is held accountable. You can't function that way. Any good company would not be a good company any longer. They'd be out of business. You have to be accountable. You've got to be accountable to your customers, to your stockholders. You have accountability. But this government has no accountability to anyone. They're just running wild. They don't care if it's law. They don't care if it's illegal. We're going to make it legal. Really? No. That's tyranny.
And this is, I mean, it's bad enough that we have this happening by these elected to public office, but then you have this at the level of Lois and the employees. Wait a minute, you work for the government. You're not supposed to be given immunity to go do what you want to because you work for the government. It's absolutely outrageous to what they're allowed to do. This government is truly above the law. And I think it was Ted Cruz was on Glenn Beck yesterday, and he just kept talking about lawlessness, what this government is, the lawlessness of this government, and it's so true. He never used the word dictator, but that's what he was alluding to, saying what do you have when there's lawlessness, when the president doesn't listen to the Congress and makes his own laws and this and that? And that's what
right.
it is.
He's a criminal in chief. He's a criminal in chief.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what we need to dub him, criminal in chief. I know I was listening to one pundit, a black conservative, talking about that this person, you know, this, we're not going to call him a president, this, you know, criminal in chief. He said this is putting back the entire movement of black people 1,000 years with this man being
in.
Yeah, it is. It's doing so much harm. And it's unfortunate that the liberal blacks don't see it. They don't see it. It's like, could you take your blinders off for just a minute and see how criminal this stuff is? Is it because it's directed towards conservatives that it's okay? And don't you realize the same criminality can be turned on you at any time? If it's criminal, it's criminal for everybody.
Well, and you would think they would think something about that, too, because of all these different games that they're playing, and this includes in the Senate, that if by some chance the Republicans take over the Senate, which I'm not real sure they're going to based on some of the things they're doing.
Right.
If they would do it, then the coin would be flipped and this would be all going against them. You would think they'd be kind of concerned about what could happen to them next.
That's just what I'm talking about. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Right now, the gun's pointed in my direction, but any kind of wind could blow, and that gun could turn completely around on you. So, no, I keep praying that people will wake up, and, you know, when are people going to just get fed up? I'll give you a little story. My sister filed her taxes, and she went down to a little local place, you know, and they did it, and she owed money. So she's okay, I've got the money, I'm ready to go ahead and pay. And she was going to pay with a debit card. Well, they told her it was going to be a $27 filing fee. And she said, oh, is this for your company? And they said, no, this is to the federal government. And she said, now, the federal government is getting my taxes, but they're going to charge me $27 for paying by debit card. And he said, yes, it's for the convenience.
I'll go home
and write a check.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I've seen them do that on other government sites, and I'm like, you know, you're not supposed to be a for-profit, and also this is supposed to be the least expensive and the easiest way to transfer the money anyway, so you should be happy to be doing this and not handling cash.
Oh, my God, yes, it's instant money. You don't have to process anything. Boom, it's in your account.
Exactly. So they go and penalize you for helping them out.
Oh, it's nuts. It's absolutely insane. And I hope
really
that one
is.
Day Americans all over the country will just, you know, all agree, you know, do Facebook and Twitter and whatever medium we can get, and then have a, no, I'm not paying my taxes.
Oh, I'm telling
everybody,
you, if we would get it.
Yeah, stop feeding the pig, which is the government, stop feeding it, and then let's see what happens. Will they start to listen then?
And actually, that mentions, you're making me think of one other thing, but just to let the listeners know, it was Ruth Esser Ruth DuPont Esser, I believe is her full name, who was running for the Santa Rosa County County Commission, District 4. She was going to be here tonight, but she got double booked, but she's going to be back on she's going to come on the 20th, correct?
Correct. She'll be on the 20th, and I can't really blame her. This is the election cycle. All the candidates are out running around like crazy. And so when you can get in front of a live crowd and answer questions and shake hands, then I can totally understand her, you know, I don't want to say standing us up, but she didn't want to go on later on tonight, and I explained to her that we're off the air by 9. That it would be best to go ahead and reschedule.
Yeah, we'll get her on if, you know, one way or another. Sometimes we can bounce around some of the times, too, if we need to try to help. But I did look at her website some, and she's got an extensive medical background. So I'm really curious as to what she's thinking about Obamacare, which goes back to what I was hearing yesterday from the Congressional Budget Office, that it's going to be to people's benefit to work less and get more free benefits.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? I heard that, and I thought my head was going to explode. Is this a, you know, I love the way they're spinning this.
Yeah.
They're trying to make that's a happy little thing. No, no, that's a lie, people. It is ruining it. literally ruining our culture. It's ruining our culture. Oh, my gosh. It makes me sick to my stomach.
Well, and you think, not only, obviously, okay, we're going to cut our hours so we get more subsidies from the government, and at the same time, when they cut their hours, they're paying less taxes. What part of this don't these people, I mean, who did the accounting for this mess? Of course, we all knew what this was going to be, but now they're saying it out loud. And, again, if the GOP has any brains, which I'm not real sure about, this is so explosive of saying that this is going to collapse this economy and that they have everything they can't they just have such an opportunity, but I just don't know if they have the brains to do it or if they truly have the will, which comes probably to the bigger question.
Yeah, this is following Alinsky's rules for radicals right down the letter. I mean, this criminal in chief has been following that to the letter to collapse our country. And everybody is still grinning and saying, gosh, he's got such a great personality. Really? Is that what you're judging it on? You're not judging it on the price of your gas, the price of your food, the price of utilities, how many people are out there looking for jobs that are not available, and now even less jobs are going to be out there because more companies are looking at the health care, and they're thinking, wow, we can't do it. And then 2016, even more of the healthcare laws are going to take place, which are even more decimating. They're even more damaging than what's already in place. Are you kidding me? I almost feel like America has been hit in the solar plexus with a sucker blow, and we're on our knees gasping for breath, and that our criminal-in-chief is doing self and smiling like a fool, and he's just so freaking happy. Well, you know, this is interesting. I've got Neil Rice calling in on my phone right now. Is Neil confused? Okay, Neil, I can't answer my phone right now. It's 12 after 7. I'm busy.
Oh, that's too funny. Well, anyway, maybe she forgot what the call-in number was.
Okay, well, while you're sitting here, we're sitting here. I'll go ahead and send her an email. So what else can we talk about while I'm doing that? I wanted to talk about, okay, so what's happening? It says Boehner puts on the brakes on amnesty.
I have not heard that one.
Okay, well, this is kind of interesting. I just heard it, and I thought, what? What is this all about? So I'm pulling up this article, and then I'll go ahead and email her. It says, in an abrupt switch from his months of work to bring immigration reform back from life support, Speaker John Boehner told reporters today that the issue cannot move forward until the criminal-in-chief proves he can be a trustworthy partner to implement the law as written. So it does look like Boehner just kind of stepped on the brakes. Do you think that maybe enough people have yelled and wanted Boehner's head for this?
I would hope so. Neil has joined us now.
Oh, God.
I had to chase my dog in the yard. And it's raining.
Oh, dear, did you melt? Are you 2 inches shorter now?
But I'm freezing my butt right now.
Oh, my gosh. You should be here. It's like 80 degrees down here.
Oh, it's cold.
It's
hot. If it gets much
here.
Colder, my railings are going to have ice on it.
Wow, that would be a
it's
nice
cold.
Change.
So, well, do we have a guest tonight or what?
Our guest was double booked. And I was pointing to the
and
audience.
I happened to talk to her this morning. Isn't that weird?
To Ruth?
Yes, I did.
Let's not trash her on the air. She
is out at a huge meeting this evening.
Right.
And she may not even get home till midnight or later.
Right. No, she and I spoke, and she wanted to go on tonight at 9, and I explained to her at that time we would be off the air.
Right.
Yeah, so
and
she's going to come on the 20th.
And she's a great patriot.
Yeah, she's going to come on the 20th.
Very good.
And like I was explaining to the audience, when you've got people that are running for office, we're going to have to expect this with Blog Talk Radio, that, you know, when an event comes up where they can get face-to-face with people and shake hands and all that, that's going to take precedence. And
yes.
I'm not offended at all. And it's going to happen. It's just one of those little things that just is going to happen. But before you got on, when you were, you know, melting, running around in the rain with your dog, we were talking about Boehner. Boehner put the brakes on amnesty today.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay, so we were just talking about that. And then we were talking about some other things, basically what's going on in our criminal government.
Well, let's talk about something that's going on in Florida, just to change the subject a little bit.
That's fine.
Because I'm sure there's a lot of listeners that haven't heard and don't know that the GOP have elected a new Senate president and a new House Speaker for the next term.
Right.
The Senate president from Orlando, Senator Andy Gardner.
Right.
Oh, my
And the House Speaker is from around the Merritt Island area over in there, Steve Crucifelli.
Yep.
Be very careful, people. Both of these gentlemen are advocates for regionalism.
That's communism, folks.
Yep. They also believe in all this land acquisition. They believe that there should be a water statewide plan. Here we go again, people. One size fits all, regardless of your area, the conditions, or circumstances. It doesn't work.
No, it does not work. Nope. Being a part of the collective does not work.
And we had a discussion about last week, too.
Yeah, Senator Gardner, the next Senate president, he is all for bicycling. He is a cyclist.
Does he wear one of those nice little bicycle lapel pins?
I'd like to put it on his seat so when he sat down next time he'd remember where he left it.
Yeah, no kidding.
He has talked to the legislature several months ago in setting aside $50 million to close a gap from the Gulf to the Atlantic for a 270-mile stretch of a bicycle path.
Wow. Isn't that
I wonder how much land acquisition went along with that one.
Oh, yeah. Well, what does it matter if somebody lives there? I want to ride my bike.
270, and that's just one. We have, Florida is leading the nation, people, in land acquisition, greenways, blueways, and every county in the state of Florida is under regionalism at one phase or another, and we can thank our present governor and our last two other governors, Jed Bush and Chris. Oh, yes. They were all on for regionalism, land acquisitions, but we lead the nation. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it's not acceptable, and we are going to fight this. It's going to take a while, but we're going to go after them tooth and nail.
We have to make sure the voters understand what this is and how for them to ask the candidates where they stand on this stuff, and don't be surprised if some of them give you the deer in the headlights kind of thing. But we really have to educate the voters on these issues and how to approach the candidates so they know who's the good guy and who's the bad guy on this stuff.
Right. So, Neil, do you have some questions that people, that voters can ask the candidates so that they can find out?
Well, one thing I would first ask is I would like to know, Sherry and Sally, I would like to know where they stand with the Constitution.
Well, yeah. Don't you think most of them are going to say they're for it right now because they know that's one of our key items?
Yep.
So, not only do I want to hear that they're for it, I want to know when's the last time you took a constitutional class? somebody wanted to friend me on Facebook, and that was one of my questions because I thought, I really don't know this person. So I asked a couple of questions, never heard back from them. So I thought, it helps me a lot right there. You know, if you've never taken a class, then, you know, don't talk to me.
And, you know, and if you really want to get the truth out of somebody, approach them with a tactic. And when I say that, I mean like with the greenways that they're doing in this state.
Right.
I mean, and these greenways, so people understand, this is land that comes off the tax roll. It's lost revenue.
Mm-hmm.
They take these greenways. You are not allowed to have any type of motorized vehicle on these. It's for walking, jogging. Some are for horseback riding and bicycling. And they present them with the manner of, oh, this is something that we're doing for the future generation so that they will have all of this. Well, do you know, isn't it amazing? After 200 and some years, it's still here. It looks just as good, if not better.
Sure, yep.
And we sure didn't have to take this route. This is your tax money, people, and I am talking hundreds of billions of dollars.
Like they we can afford that right now.
Oh, we can't afford it even when we can. Think of it.
No,
there's always a place for good money to go to help people out here or to make things in our government work better.
Right.
I mean, this is doing nothing.
Well, no, they can't build roads. Remember, they want to get rid of roads. So all the DOT, you know, you're thinking you're spending money with the DOT, the grants, the Tiger grants, all the stuff the DOT is doing, and you're thinking, well, wow, with all that money, where are the roads? Oh, no, they're buying land to build livable communities so that you don't need a car.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this has to be part of that question when the voters are talking to them. One,
right.
You know, have a constitution, you know, the federal constitution and the state constitution, and say, would you explain to me regionalism in your constitution because I don't see it there? And then also it's like, well, wait a minute, you don't have money to fix the roads. You're going to put all these toll roads out there. You're going to sell them to a foreign entity, but you're out here doing this. Would you explain to me why you would do that to the people that you're supposed to be representing?
Right. Why are you enslaving the very people you're supposed to be representing?
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you two get the notice about the Florida 10th Amendment Center asking for a Second Amendment? They've got the greatest Florida bill to protect the Second Amendment here. It was filed this week in the House, and now they need a Senate to sponsor and file a companion bill.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that's House Bill
733,
so people
that's correct.
Know.
So now we need to, you know, tell your friends and family, you know, that you went ahead and contacted your state senator and asked them to support this, and hopefully they will do the same so we can get this done. It's critical.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we've got a lot of stuff coming down the pike. I don't know how much Neil wants to share with everyone. There was some good news today. Do you want to talk about that, Neil, or...
Well, I can talk about a certain portion of it. I can't let it all out of the bag yet, but it is coming, and we will be putting it on the air. One thing we are doing with all this land grabbing and these water policies that they want to do, and it's going to be landmark policies that they're going to be working on in this 2014 session, and it's more or less going to be taking over the control of our waters in Florida. We are in deep trouble here, people.
Yeah, we are.
Because
our
when
water.
They have the land and the water,
they
all I can
everything.
Tell you, look out. But we've got to pay attention to this. We have got to be on the ball to make these phone calls, emails, send a fax. And we can't sit around this year. There's too much going on right now. And as far as the land portion of this, what a group of us are doing in the state of Florida, but I found out we already have this through another very good reliable source, And we were approaching, I started this morning, a couple of counties requesting from the property appraiser's office a map in my county and Madison County, separately, of course, of all the land that is off the tax roll. Now, I'm not talking about people that after they get their, what is it, the Florida, where they get the discount? I can never remember that thing. You get that 25 deduction homestead, and then they have nothing left to pay or anything. We're not counting that. I asked for the people that are off the tax roll that have land, that are environmentalist, parks, conservation land, corridors, greenways, anything or any agency, water management, Florida Fish and Wildlife, anything like that that they own in these counties. Along with that, I am getting maps, and they are sending me at my request on the lands that are off the tax roll, whose name this land is in, total amount of lost revenue per year.
Right.
Now, I found out today in my county alone, we're talking 80% of the land. Think of that, people. 80%.
Oh,
Foley Timber and Lumber here own right at 60%, and they pay hardly anything. This is a joke.
Unbelievable.
Oh, yes. There are some counties that are as high as 90%. And this is our legislators that have passed these bills to accommodate them.
You wonder
to give
if
them
they
a back door.
So that they can see the numbers in their face. You know, perhaps all they do is see one little part, but if they had a spreadsheet in front of them, they saw the numbers right there, hard, cold, wouldn't that make them take a breath and go, oh, my gosh, no.
Well, that's what we're doing
this.
With all this information. It
yeah.
is going to be going to some lobbyists that we have. It is going to several senators that we've
yeah,
been working with now.
Yeah.
And I
he's
did get a thing.
One of them.
Oh, well, it should, but, you know, we've got to start somewhere here. But it
yeah.
is going to be an issue that was going to be brought up, mainly because of the issue last year where Senator Hayes brought up the fact that Florida Forever owns 28% to 30% of the state by themselves. And they made it like, well, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is, think about it, that is one-third of the state of Florida. Take the state in any portion, cut it in three pieces, take away one of those pieces. That's
yeah.
a huge, huge issue.
Yeah, it is.
So now we have got so much evidence in documents, and it's their own documents. That's what I love. And they're going to see, yes, it is a huge issue. The Florida Fish and Wildlife, they own over 5 million acres themselves. Think
now, why
of that.
Would they need that?
It's all conservation.
Yeah. You know, these are the questions
totally
we need
right.
to be asking our legislators is, why do you possibly need this kind of land? For what purpose?
Well, Senator Gates, Don Gates, came out and he made a statement in one of the papers in the middle or South Florida, and that was pertaining to the amendment that's going to be on the 2014 ballot for the Florida Water and Land Legacy.
Yeah.
And what they're doing is going after money and making it a Florida state statute that they're going to do for Florida Forever, which I just told you, already owns a third of the state. They want $10.5 billion to buy more land, do more land acquisitions, and permanent easements. Think about that. My God, between them and all the other organ water management, all five districts, they are one of the biggest criminals.
Now,
the Department of Transportation.
The people that are, they're voting for regarding this issue, when you tell them how much land's already been acquired, you also need to ask them point blank, because this is what I do with my commissioners. I ask them, what percentage of America is built on? What percentage?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they couldn't give me an answer, but most of them said, well, not that much. I said, so why are you in such dire straits for this land grab to preserve it? 8% is built on, 8% of America. So why this desire to grab land? Why are they acting like this resource is almost gone?
Well, Senator Don Gates at the end said that this is way too much land for any government to control.
Amen.
And I'm glad he said it. I mean, that came right out of the bag right there.
Neil, do you happen to have the language of that bill in front of you, that amendment that's going to be on the ballot?
No, I don't.
Okay. Yeah.
We're going to be getting this out. It's going to be on several websites. It's going to be in the American Patriot News, the Lantern newspaper. It's going to be getting out very shortly. And we are going to businesses, and they are going to be passing out information that we're going to be giving to them and to the churches.
Right.
Different organizations in my county, because I've gotten the word out here. It's going to be on Facebook all over the state. I mean, this has got to be stopped. But, you know, here's a good thing to think about. Now, this is another subject, but it can kind of come back to bite you in the butt, if you've ever heard that expression. But this, I was talking to Karen this morning on this. Keith Perry, the representative up in Tallahassee, he has done a bill for the 2014 session to expand their term limits.
Oh, no, we don't need to do that.
No, no, no. We have enough corruption right now. We don't need to give them any more time to destroy anything else.
I think they need to be limited to one term. Do what the framers of the Constitution intended. Go, serve your duty, serve your country, and then get the heck back home and do what you need to be doing.
Because this isn't a job, you know.
8 years, to me, is too long.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the other thing is I haven't heard hardly anything being said about this in our good old media again. And this is the other part that's so disgusting. The media just sits on the sidelines while they do this garbage.
Right. Well, they're paid, you know, by the criminal in chief. So, yeah.
Right.
Well, I just did an article on it, and it's being edited. And it is going to be going as letters to the editors and newspapers throughout the state. And like I said, it's going to be on websites, what Keith Perry has done with this. Because in 1992, on the ballot, they had an amendment to do that at that time. 77% of the people of Florida said no. But they keep pushing this constantly.
Yeah, they do. If they don't get it
the
first time, they're going to try it the hundredth time, thinking that you'll go to sleep long enough. Or they'll rephrase it, you know, so that it sounds like something that you do want to sign up for, and then you realize, what did I just vote for?
A big issue. Think of this. Right now, this is a Florida state constitution statute. He wants to change it with his bill.
Yep.
So I feel that we should start getting some of our good senators, representatives, to do bills of the unconstitutional things that are on our state statute.
Oh, absolutely.
For one, I think we should take care of Florida Forever. And I do mean forever.
Right.
because they are way beyond, and they're connected, you know, 1,000 Friends of Florida. There's another one. They do an enormous amount of work as far as funding all these greenways and getting money for them. The Department of Transportation, they have stepped up to the plate to help fund more greenways.
Oh, sure.
And our legislation this last session gave the Department of Transportation in Florida your tax dollar of $8.5 billion. That's with a B. I don't know about other people in other counties. My roads don't look that slick.
Oh, no. We've got our roads are horrendous here. And what's funny is, we already have, sitting in the city budget, more than enough money to pay for the repair of these roads, but they went ahead and got a bond instead. Well, I didn't realize the city was a place that was like a business. I didn't realize they were in for a profit. They were hoarding money.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, it's like, wait a minute. What are you guys hoarding this money for? You're supposed to be very limited. You're supposed to supply the citizens this, this, and this services. So why are you bogarting all this money?
Exactly.
It's going on everywhere. And before you came on, Neil, Sally and I were talking about there's no accountability anywhere.
No.
No one will give you a direct answer.
It's like
everywhere
they have no morals.
Double speak, and no one will take a hit on the chin and say, you know what, it's my fault. I'm going to look into this, and I'm going to see that it changes. You'll never hear those words.
Wouldn't that be refreshing?
Oh,
and wouldn't
my.
That make you want to stand behind that person and
if
help
I
them
had a
in any way?
If said something like that, you betcha.
Yep. Because then I could give them some respect. Right
exactly.
Now, I don't have respect for any of them in Tallahassee.
None.
We have the most corrupt government in the state of Florida, and I mean at every single level.
Yep.
Outside of Washington, we lead the nation in corruption, that's for sure.
Oh, no, I don't know. I'm thinking about the District of Criminals. They're pretty intense up there. But let's take a little side break from Florida for just a minute and talk
mm-hmm.
about the chief criminal pushing climate change at the National Prayer Breakfast.
Now,
when
see, I missed that because
that
I
issue?
Can't stand
when,
to look
when is
at that.
When is that going
to
die?
No, I can't stand to look at that man.
Well, I'm talking about the whole climate change crap.
Oh, well, that, yeah. Well,
yeah,
they're
on.
All going to find out real soon. Because the Supreme Court, of course, this year is going to be taking that issue up. And there's a few scientists from the United Nations, their climate change panel, the IPCC.
Right.
They are giving testimony that all of this was done for a political agenda.
That's exactly right.
We knew that from the beginning because we researched it.
That's right.
And several other things, documents that have come out. I mean, like you hear, oh, the polar bear is extinct and blah, blah,
oh,
blah.
Lies.
They have grown so much. It
well,
is unbelievable.
You know, the ice. It has increased, what, 5 times the amount now? So
five
they've got
or
lots,
six, yes.
lots of room to roam now.
Well, HUD's going to have to go up there and put up some of their complexes for the bears pretty soon because they're running out of space.
Don't mention that, Neil. No, don't mention that. Your tax dollar is going to go towards that now. So, no, don't give them any ideas.
Oh, my.
I have to have some fun with this.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they need toll roads up in the Arctic. We ought to let Rick Scott know about
Woo!
That.
Now, there's an idea for you. Sally would jump on board on that one.
Oh, yeah, right. That's the only place we're allowed to build toll roads, and it's only when Rick Scott with that bald head of his is going to be up there taking care of it.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, look at the partial piece of the toll road that they're going to do down in Orlando area. It's a short, I can't remember the exact miles on it, but it's short and sweet. And it is going to cost the taxpayer, and I hope everyone's sitting down, over $95 million a mile.
Woohoo!
Now, I expect this to be like...
pretty miles. For that kind of money, I think I could get a crew to come in a little under that and do a darn good job.
I think it's going to look like the Wizard of Oz, you know, the gold paved road.
Oh, heck yeah. It's got to have something, a lot of bling going on for that kind of money.
And just keep in mind while we're talking about this, they're going to tear down a church in a black community, Paramore, a historic community, tear that down to custom build a stadium or an arena for Major League Soccer, for a professional Major League Soccer team. This is what they're doing with our money while they tell us they can't afford roads. And we have a
set of
people right
there.
They're renovating a sit for
now. Tell me how many people are really going to go to that event.
Nobody is. We can't get people to go to the Orlando Magic. That's been a joke. We do have a caller out here who wants to join in. The last four digits are 4707. Caller, you're on the air. We'll get your name, please.
Oh, hey, this is moving forward, and I'm enjoying this show so much tonight. From Maryland. How you doing?
Oh, great. Thank you.
Welcome, Moving Forward.
Yeah, you know, you're out there telling it what's going on in Florida, and, you know, we're seeing the same things up here in Maryland with the rain tax put on the western counties of Maryland, you know, because, you know, they're red counties, you know, vote conservative. They got rain tax put on them, and the rest of the state didn't get any rain tax. And they just arbitrarily, you know, you can look it up, the rain tax in Maryland. And you were talking about the concern about things being criminal tonight about it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, oh, my gosh, you know, people getting ready to retire here in Maryland, they can't live here. They can't live here. They get taxed to death.
Now, isn't that sad? Isn't that sad that someplace that you love and you've worked and you really have close relationships formed, your own home, everything, and then you're going to have to leave it because you can't afford it any longer?
That's absolutely. And, you know, that's happening in New York. It's happening all through the Northeast. Maryland is the greatest state to live in. It's got four seasons. You can grow anything.
Beautiful.
It's just
beautiful.
A beautiful place. And the further west you go, the prettier it gets. But and then you get closer to the coast, it's nice too. But those are all conservative venues, and we're getting anchored down by this extension of D.C. outside in those counties of Maryland outside of D.C. And Baltimore is like a lead brick, drags our tax commitment so high, and it just creates a bad standard of living for retirees, and that's why. I hope Florida's, you know, a good alternative, but it looks like you're feeling the pain right now. So just enjoying the show, and I'm learning a lot. I'm learning a heck of a lot tonight.
But I'll tell you what, moving forward, we need people like you to come on down and get actively involved and turn this thing around.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, well, you know, that Operation American Spring is something that folks in Maryland are paying attention to, and I think that's a good idea.
I think it's a great idea.
So,
and then
it's a good idea, but I would be very, very cautious of it.
Right.
Because
this
is not going to turn out the way people think it's going to.
Well,
you know, that's all in God's
plan.
That's in God's plan.
It's not just going to be in Washington, D.C. It's the people that can't make it to Washington. Those folks that can't make it there, just go ahead and go to your local congressman's office or senator's office, your local offices, and let them know.
We can't predict
the
future. We don't know how things are going to turn out tomorrow. We don't know if we're going to wake up. We don't know if we'll be moving tomorrow.
There you go.
That's it.
So, you know, but we can't predict the future. But, you know, either we're going to make change or we're not going to make change. And I think your ideas about if you can't go, okay, but if you can move, if you're moving, I think May 16th is a good idea to go to D.C.
I like the whole idea that they wanted $10 million there initially, and then to rotate $1 million that's always in place. I like that idea. Unfortunately, I think Obama is drooling at this, salivating at the opportunity to just say, okay, martial law. I'm hoping that that doesn't happen, but yet when you're reading the alternative media and you're reading about foreign troops on our soil right now and ships right off the coast of California, and no one's talking about it in the mainstream media, no one.
No.
And why?
Well, additionally, they're out there arming the police into a military state in addition. So that's the other part.
That happened in Florida this week. Right.
Hey,
yeah,
hey, the only ships in D.C. going to, you know, May 16th, hey, you should just be contacting those cruise ship lines and saying, hey, you want to make some money and get yourself a good cabin and have them just float up there on the Potomac and just drop you off there on the mall. And that's a true thing. You should be calling
that's
those cruise lines
idea.
And chartering those ships. And you don't have to drive up the interstate. Just call those cruise lines there in Florida. You know, we're not all dead yet, right? So just call those cruise lines, charter a ship, have them drop you off there at the mall up Potomac and have a good time, and then go back to the ship at night.
Hey,
do you have family or friends here?
Hello?
Yeah, do you have family or friends in Florida?
Oh, me moving?
Right, yes,
yeah.
I've got family all over the country. I'm out of Maryland now, and, you know, you know.
Well, you know the state of Florida is under UN Agenda 21 Sustainable Development. I hope you realize that.
Well, you know, that's another reason I called in tonight is, you know, that Agenda 21 New World Order, the Green Goblins, I like to call them. That Agenda 21 stuff, if this is really one of the last chances we're going to have to stand up against that, you know, all those Agenda 21 crowd. And I've read all those documents, and it's a spooky, scary Halloween story for the American people. And, and that's why I called in tonight, because I think you
ladies
are spot on. And I'm learning a lot. So, hey, I'll jump off. And Patriots. Thanks.
Before you go, I got one thing for Gaithersburg, Maryland. Got a story for Gaithersburg. I was doing some work up there, and this is about 2 years ago now. And, same time as when Arizona was getting into all the trouble for their law to stop the illegal immigration. And I was up there on business. This was a rental car I had. And I had used this window marker on the back saying, support Arizona, stop illegal immigration. And in the hotel parking lot, all the windows were broken out. I should say the front windshield, the back windshield were totally broken out from this car. The hammer was left next to it. The police from Gaithersburg would do nothing about it. I mean, they took an official report, but they would do nothing about it. So that was something I learned about Maryland. But you're right, it's a beautiful area. If you could just get rid of the political crap in it, it'd be a wonderful area.
Well, hey, Sister Statesman, I believe that story, and I'll share one back at you. Just me moving. Since the 2008 election, I bought me a Toyota Camry because I didn't like those GM bailout cars. Bought a Toyota Camry. I've put 5 sets of tires on that Camry in 100,000 miles. Why would I take 5 sets of tires in 100,000 miles? Because
good
of the campaign
grief.
Sized in my driveway and tires slashed. And I got the receipts to prove it. And windows broken. And, you know, had my, you know, campaign signs on the front lawn. Got pictures of them. You know, these Obama supporters coming by and spray painting the campaign signs and breaking my house windows, slashing my car windows. These people are like brown shirts. And
no, they are. Absolutely.
And I got all the paperwork to back that up. So anyone wants to say something, you know, moving, just, you know, I got the receipts. So
what
God bless you. God bless your show.
God bless
you. Don't
let
them take Florida. Don't let them take Florida. Bye-bye now.
Thank you,
bye.
And call in again.
Oh, that was what an awesome man.
Yes. But I thought it was interesting you brought up the American Operation Spring, And I tell you, this is, Neil and I were talking about this, and I've talked to others, and I understand the risk of the martial law stuff. What, you know, and I can also see that the dictator up there in the White House is drooling for the opportunity. But at the same time, if we keep standing on the sidelines doing nothing, that doesn't help. I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is.
No, I definitely agree, but here's the big thing I feel, Sally. And like I said, I hope I'm dead wrong, but every time we've gone to Washington, after the first and second time, every time after that has been a waste of money and a waste of time. They're not listening to us. They tell, we've got them occupied. They're doing something now, so we'll go do this here. They don't care what you think about anything. They have showed this to the American people over and over and over again. I say, yes, my hat is off to people that are willing to do this, but it's going to be a sorry event. They are going to call out, and the left is going to have their people up there. I firmly believe there's going to be violence, and this isn't supposed to be violent, but they're going to make sure it turns that way. They're going to pull out the troops. He can declare martial law. And there again, what have we accomplished? Nothing.
Well, that's if we even get that far.
That's another
things
issue.
I've been reading. The financial situation is extremely perilous right now. And I was getting some chatter about banks closing. I know just now Japan has had a real dive in their market. I mean, they tanked big time today. So, you know, you heard about those bankers, but three of them, you know, just died. Now they're saying that those weren't suicides. So there's a lot going on that the press can tell you about. So I don't know. I don't know if we're going to have a reset, a reboot. I don't know how everything's going to shuffle out and when these events exactly are going to happen. I know that there is something supposed to be coming down the pike February 15th. I don't know what it is.
That's what I've heard, too,
Yeah, the same kind of chatter.
We have another caller. This is Charlie. He hasn't called in a while, but hey, Charlie, I see you out there.
Yep, it's a very good show.
Hi, Charles.
Hi there. How are you doing, Neil?
I'm doing very well, thank you, sir. I hope you're doing the same.
I am still above ground.
Good.
That's important.
At 78 years old, I'm above ground, and God's been very good to me.
Yes, he has. You're blessed.
Government hasn't been doing worth a damn, but God has been,
protecting
me from
that's where we're going to all have to do our part and get on our knees and really focus on God, because I'm telling you, all the stuff that's coming down, his hand is going to have to be on each and every one of us.
That's on my truck.
Oh, wonderful.
In 4x8 signboard on both sides, it reads, "No prayer in school. Blame courts, Congress, and ACLU for the violence and crimes against you."
Absolutely.
I predicted this when they voted, when the Supreme Court 5 voted prayer in school out for one person. I said, watch in about 20, 30 years, the crime and violence increase, and it sure has. My sign man went ahead and added something very nice to it. He's the cross of Jesus at an angle of 45 degrees with praying hands vertical. And just this last, just before Christmas, but it was only on my truck for 2 days, is on the signboards I put in big letters, like about 9 or 10-inch letters, audit IRS, period, with the word period on the last period. That's on both sides. And then this last Saturday, I put it on my tailgate of my Ford pickup. Audit IRS, period. We the people, we are the government, we the people have to audit the IRS. the IRS employees, as I understand from a news brief, I don't know if it was on Fox News or if I happened to be watching some other channel, but they said over $50 million was charged on credit cards that are funded by the taxpayers. Now, wouldn't it be something if Lois Lerner was one of those who bought something for her family?
Yes.
Alcohol is not a legal commodity in the private business area, because I was told when I was able to went on a business trip and they told me to save all my receipts, and they said don't bother putting in anything with alcohol because the IRS does not allow us to declare the booze.
Yep.
So anyway, if we can go ahead and find out who that company was, or that the ones that did that auditing or finding out about this, we should go ahead and go get a FOIA for all of the IRS credit cards and have them cancel them so that we can go ahead and audit them.
If they don't want to cancel them,
that's fine. We audit them and we find out any questionable item, like something that's purchased at Dillard's, Victoria's Secret, the liquor stores, or whatever, or at Rachel's, you know, at these, or even in the casinos.
You sound like
one
of those women who's going after her husband in a divorce case. This is brilliant. Love it.
If we go ahead and do this, now remember one thing. The IRS comes after us for principal and penalty and then interest. We could do the same thing. Can you imagine if somebody bought a bag of Pampers 10 years ago and put it on, and the taxpayers paid for it, and it was a $20 deal? The penalty has to be at least 50%, so that'd be $30. And then interest at, 6 to 10% compounded for the next 10 years?
Yes.
Well, that would be one hell of a
cost. I love it. Let's bankrupt the IRS and drive them out of business.
Now, that would put all of the employees who had the credit cards in the poorhouse.
Let's do
it. But it would get the money back to the people. We need to talk that up and get more people out there and start saying that it's time for we the people to become the government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And going after the IRS by auditing them and their use of our money, I think we are going in the right direction, because we have a right to do that. We also have a right to go after the EPA.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
The federal education system.
Yeah.
The FEC, the FCC, every one of those bureaucracies, we have a right to audit them because they are our employees, not Congress's.
It's like, unless
and if
not,
anything, and if anything, and Neil, if anything that we find is in violation by the employees, like a contract or something given to them by Congress, then Congress has overstepped the bounds and their rights according to the Constitution. So that means it could be a possible treasonous action caused by Congress, such as the Obamacare, which is, I really believe, the Democrats have committed an act of treason against we the people by fundamentally changing the way we do business in America without our permission.
Absolutely, Charlie. Boy, I'm standing up and I'm applauding you right now.
Charlie, don't forget FEMA and Homeland Security.
You're awesome.
I'm the only one. Well, everybody has to start talking about it. You have to email it. Now, Sally took a picture of my truck, and she said she was going to put it in Facebook. Other people have done the same thing. If that goes viral, and we start talking about it.
Sally, do you have Charlie's information? Hey, Charlie, can Sally give me your contact information? Because I'd like to talk to you when we're off the air.
Oh, yeah, definitely, but I don't have a computer. My computer got burned up, so.
Okay, well, no, I'll just make a phone call to you.
Strictly a phone.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I just wanted your permission to get it from Sally. She's got it, right?
Yeah, she's got it, yep. She's
got
my home phone.
Great, and I'll get your number.
And I will email both of you his truck so you can see what the truck picture looks like.
Oh, I'd love it. I'll put it on my Facebook page.
Right, good.
Yeah,
yeah,
I've got
Neil,
Charlie's information, so you don't have to send that to me.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I'm Charlie Hay. This is Sherry. Proud to meet you. I'm so glad you're out there. It's people like you that you're the backbone of America. You are the kind of people that America was built on, and you're the kind of person that your word needs to be heard and honored.
Well, thank you. Sally and I have been doing this now, but this sign here is the one that I decided to do on my own, because Sally and I had one on there for, what was it, about 5 years that we drove to 912, and we also drove it to the Martin
Storama.
Luther King Day for Glenn Beck when he had that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had a huge sign on there now, but now I put this one on here because I wanted to change it. And Sally was busy doing a job somewhere, and so I just went ahead and did what I thought was right.
So, Charlie, are you heading for to D.C. in May? Are you going to be there?
In May? If I
yes,
can
sir.
Afford it, I'll drive up there. If Sally and I are talking about that. She's been looking at different things, so we'll see what happens. If
okay,
I can afford
well,
the gas and all this type of thing.
I'm planning on going myself. So it'll be interesting to go up there and just, if nothing else, be a witness to what's going on.
Right. Well, the big thing is if we can get this audit the IRS out there, that may go ahead and really get those people in Washington shaking, because it could go right back to Congress and everybody else. The whole thing we have to do is we have to correct the wrongs of Congress's past and present.
Right.
And rewrite and get rid of all of the laws that are unconstitutional, because apparently the Supreme Court has such a backlog they can't get to them.
Well, they're
so maybe
just
the people,
as well. The Supreme Court's just as dirty.
That's
yep.
right. So we the people really have to go ahead and say, all right, this law is unconstitutional. Congress does not have a right, or Harry Reid does not have a right to sit on the bills presented to him by the Republican Party.
Exactly.
But he's done it. That has to be an act of treason, because he has been denying the people the work.
Absolutely.
Now, we elected those people to do our job. The Republicans came up with modifications and amendments for the Obamacare and everything else, and Harry Reid has sat on them because they come from the Republicans. That
That's
is
right.
a dereliction of duty. That is a total violation of his fiduciary duty to we the people.
Right.
So that's an act of treason on his part. But see, the Republicans won't write it up, so who's going to write it up? We have to take him to court. And Sally, Terry, and I tried to do that. But we don't have standing, so who wrote the standing bill?
Right.
That we have to prove standing. We the people are the government. And if the courts
Absolutely.
Don't want to recognize we the people as the government, then we need to get rid of those judges.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of things we have to do.
We said we had standing because $50,000 at that point, it was like $50-something thousand dollars of that debt was for each individual. So we had standing there. But didn't they make a fuss that we went after the House leader, you know, Boehner and Reid versus going in for the whole thing or something like that too?
Right. If we would have left their titles off, we probably would have been okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go after them for the person or whatever it is.
Right.
All right.
Oh, I love that. It's brilliant.
Keep it up. I mean, we can get it going. And I do believe that the way to go after our government, our elected representative government, our non-representative government,
yeah.
is to go through the IRS and get the IRS first.
Boy, that
and
should take care
love...
of Obamacare too, Charlie, because the IRS is going to be running it.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. Get rid of it.
That's
dismantle
what I'm saying.
That whole organization.
We go after the IRS for the $50-plus million, we can find other things wrong with it, too. And also Lois Lerner and all of these hearings and all this, how is it that our Congress, our elected who write laws, didn't see this coming 20, 30 years ago? What are they doing, just worried about themselves?
Of course.
This proves that they are not working for the people.
That's right. That's exactly right.
All of these hearings prove that our elected officials are not working in the best interest of America and we the citizens, and we the people, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so,
thank you.
Well, let me tell you something,
word.
Charlie.
Word.
I got a phone call a couple of days ago from an elderly lady. She is very active. She lives by herself out in the country. She has a lot of acreage. And she gets very involved in everything. And God bless her. And she is being harassed by the IRS. And
yeah.
It's a census that they're taking now. And it's showing up here in Florida in different areas. And I would like to let people know a little bit about this. She called me upset, and I told her, let me look into it, and I will get right back to you. So I did, and it turns out it's called the American Community Survey. They ask all sorts of personal questions. And this is not your regular census, because we all know the regular census is every 10 years.
Right.
They are doing this now, and it's getting more and more. They're going at the community level asking these things.
Who's doing the questioning?
It's IRS.
That's unconstitutional for them to do that.
I know that.
That's an invasion of privacy.
Well, not only that, but it is written in our Constitution, and, gee, I got caught short on this one. I forgot what article section, and it was paragraph 3, but I can't remember the first part of it. The only thing you have to tell any census,
is your name.
And you don't even have to answer this one, is just the 10-year one they do. The only thing anybody is required to do is to let them know how many people live in your house. Not another word of anything.
Right.
Right.
And I
right.
told her, I said, well, look, this is what you do. You make sure you have a no trespassing sign up.
Right.
Play ball when they come back around, because they were phone calling her, sending her letters, telling her it was her legal obligation to answer all the questions. I said, let them come out on your property. What you want to do is be very cordial. Ask them for a business card.
Right.
Make sure if you have a possible chance, get their tag number off their car.
And tell them
after
not to leave the house.
That, yeah, but after you have that, then tell them, now look, you get off my property or I'm going in and I'm calling the sheriff's department.
She should not leave the house either.
That's right. Don't step out on your front porch.
Don't step out. If they ask her to come out, she has to stay in, tell her to stay in her house. And another thing.
That's right.
18 U.S.C. 841 is conspiracy against rights.
Mm-hmm.
What
mm-hmm.
is that again? 18 what?
Pull that out. 18 U.S.C. 241.
241, okay.
18 U.S.C. 241. Is conspiracy against rights. If two
mm-hmm.
or more people intimidate, harass, deny, et cetera, any other person in the free exercise of their rights as afforded to them by the Constitution or the laws of the United States, fast forward, they shall be fined under this statute and imprisoned not more than 10 years or both.
I think all of you ought to take a copy of that with you on May 16th when you go to Washington.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that has to go there because I've been saying this, and I've had that, and I just love it. And the whole thing about it is if that woman gets the two names of them, she can call the sheriff's department and say, I want to file charges against them, too, for their harassment.
Right, but I told her that if they did, you know, that's a manner to handle it. And then after they leave, she needs to go down to the sheriff's department and get something on record.
Right, get it on record, right.
Yeah.
But once she calls in the 911, it goes on record there that she can say, I have these IRS people here harassing me. Or wanting me to answer personal questions, which I have been denying.
Yeah, you know, though,
or
Charlie,
whatever.
I don't even trust that anymore. I've had to go down
either.
And file complaints, and I make sure I get a copy of it.
We have right now, this is the worst I have ever seen in this country, but we have trickle-down corruption.
Oh, yes.
Big time. Trickle-down corruption.
Yep.
I don't believe we had it in the Bush administration or even the Clinton administration as much as we have it now.
Well,
but
we
Eric
had it,
Holder
but not as bad.
Excellent, Eric Holder is doing an excellent job of showing reverse discrimination.
Oh, absolutely.
And reverse prejudice. That's what they're doing. They're showing reverse discrimination and reverse prejudice.
Well, it's been going on for a long time, more than 30 years in our country, but it's been subtle that you never really could put your finger on it. I had an experience when I was with IBM that was absolutely reverse discrimination. That was more than 30 years ago. But now it's so blatantly obvious of what they're doing.
Well, now it's very obvious with the with the people blocking the voting booth in Philadelphia, and nothing was done to them. That is totally a violation of the Constitution.
But you know what on that, Charlie?
What?
The one thing on that that has always puzzled me to this day, and I'm an older woman, but I'll tell you what, I'd walk right by them. I mean, if they want to hit me, if they want to hit me, let them hit me, because then I got them.
Oh, yeah. But
I would not have turned and walked away, never.
I don't know how many people walked away, but some of them may have, but the whole thing is most people walked past them, I believe.
Right.
Yeah, most people were American enough to walk by them, but some may have been intimidated and turned away.
I know there was a lot of them
were giving a wide berth and going, way out of their range to go ahead and get through the door. But no, it's the fact that was blatant intimidation. Blatant.
And see, the whole thing about it is our elected officials fail to bring charges against Eric Holder for failing to prosecute.
Yep. He's not doing his job.
He's not doing his job, and that's what we have now.
He is doing his job.
All right.
Oh, my.
It's not on the right side of the law.
That's right. All right, y'all take care. Yeah.
You too, Charlie.
Thank you.
God bless you, sir.
God bless you, too. God bless America, and we are going to prevail.
With God's help. Yeah, absolutely.
God is going to prevail. I am very positive about that.
Yep. Absolutely.
And we just have to make sure we help him.
Got that right.
All right. You take care now. Nice to meet you, Terry. You take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, I'm going
to
sign off now, ladies. If you want to continue on, that's great. I'm going to have to hang up. I've got something else I need to take care of. It's 12 minutes.
Yeah, well, I got a conference call coming up, too.
Okay. So, Sally,
that time went by too fast.
Hey, and Sally, thank you. I have his contact number right here on my screen. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Like I said at the beginning, too many issues and too little time. So hope that was a good conversation we had tonight. And who is the candidate we're going to be talking to next week? We got another candidate lined up for next week.
She's very, very pretty. It's Debbie Roche Gonneau. She's running for office. Yeah, and an outstanding woman, extremely attractive, so that doesn't hurt. And she's conservative.
What office is she running for?
You know, I don't have that screen up in front of me right now, but I think I sent it to you. Did I send it to you in an email? Let me.
I'm looking at the switchboard right now, so I didn't see it in there.
Okay.
I just kind of want to let people know what was going on with next week, so that they would tune in for that as well. And
well,
then
if you
on want the 20th,
talk for just a minute, I can find out. Keep talking. And let me get over
Well, the thing of it is we're going to have a candidate on next week, that's for sure. And people are invited to ask questions. I certainly have questions for any candidate running. Let's see where they stand. Let's see how much they know. Let's see if they're willing to work with the people that would elect someone that is going to do the right thing. Let's see if she'll spend her time listening to the people.
Who, Debbie? The one that we're talking
Anybody running, anybody.
Okay, yeah, this one I know will definitely do it. She's in Navarre, Florida. So what part of Florida is that? Do you guys know?
Where?
Navarre, isn't that where,
Brevard?
The northern part of the state?
Did you say Brevard?
No, Navvare.
That's over in the Panhandle, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's over in the Panhandle.
Okay.
That's where retired SEAL Jeff Ross is. He's over there.
That's what I thought. So she probably knows Jeff.
Well, if she doesn't, we need to hook her up with him.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, in fact, I'm on her Facebook page, and she doesn't. I thought she had it right there on her page.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, okay, sounds good.
She'll be on next week, and then Ruth will be on the following week, back on the 20th, because she couldn't make it tonight and double booked. But the main thing is focus on what we have to ask these candidates and all that good stuff. And I'm going to be talking about the notary public bill that's out there. So I'm going to continue on with that discussion. Thank you, ladies, for joining. And until next week, have a good week.
And God bless all of you. God bless America.
Yes, and please keep up the good work. Thank you. Okay, now let's get on to, and I talked a little bit about this last week, the notary public bill that Senator, Florida Senator Darren Soto has introduced and has been sponsored in the House as well by Representative Peters, and it's to make Florida notaries accountable. This isn't going to be on the ballot itself, but you need to be contacting your state senator and your state representative, telling them it's time to crack down on what these notaries can do. I can tell you that it's really interesting. If you go to a notary, if a notary has a journal of their own, that is going to give them a lot of big points to me because it shows they take it seriously what they're doing. But the problem is, a Florida notary public does not have to keep a journal, does not have to keep any records of what they do, what they sign, what they stamp, any of the stuff. And it really just creates an environment for fraud. There's a reason why Florida is number one in identity theft, property theft, and mortgage fraud. And this is the kind of craziness they do with the stuff. So it's Senate Bill 172. And I'm going to read some of it to you here, but the whole point of it is to make Florida notary publics accountable for what they're signing. I'm the victim of what a notary did in reference to my father's estate and a lease, a rental lease that these people claimed they had with my father. And the nonsense, the craziness of what this notary, a Florida notary public is an officer of the state. This notary's name was Rachel Harvey, DD 989035. I'm still going to be pursuing some other actions because of the craziness of what the state is doing. And I'm not going to get into the full story of what that is. I plan on having a show talking nothing about what's happened with notary fraud and me. So this is why Todd Ulrich with Channel 9 WFTV had two segments on notary fraud, or notary errors was one, and then criminal notaries, how many Florida notaries are felons and behind bars as we speak. Crazy. And the thing that's really even scary, I mean, first off, these are public officers of the state, and they're sworn to uphold the Constitution of the state and all the other things like what any officer would do. But the thing that's even more outrageous about this whole process is a court of law takes these papers as gospel when these people – anybody can be a notary. You can be a felon, you can be behind bars and be a notary in the state of Florida. How can that be? And yet these people go out there and sign notarized fraudulent wills, and if you're not ready to do the fighting to protect yourself on it, you will be they'll get away with whatever they're doing. So all you can do, and the same thing happens on car lots. Used car sales and the used car deals, trading things and whatever, there is massive, massive fraud, and I did not have any idea until this thing hit me with what happened with my father after he died. I would not have realized how bad this was. And I always ask people, it's like, okay, how many notary publics do you think there are in the state of Florida? And they look at you, 10,000, 20,000, 500. I mean, you get all sorts of numbers, but nowhere near 400,000. 400,000 Florida notary publics in the state of Florida who aren't accountable for anything they do, as it is today. And when I say they're not accountable, because here I went in and I challenged the notary on a will, and initially I thought the notary stamp had been counterfeited, and I later found out it hadn't been. The notary was there and participated. The whole process, nobody to go and investigate what these people do. They send a dear letter, you know, dear notary, please tell us what this is. Thanks. Oh, okay, fine. Even though the letter made no sense, the response was totally illogical. It made no sense at all. A 5-year-old could have written something better. And well, I think I did this. Well, I did something, but I don't really know what I did. And I mean, just the craziness of it. And I'll read the letter on the air one of these days. But anyway, and then the other part, after they, you know, I keep challenging this craziness because there was no answer to the question. The state goes and the governor signs an executive order suspending the notary. And then, but in the same letter, your notary commission has been suspended immediately per the executive order, blah, blah, blah. And however, in lieu of being suspended, you can resign. This is what they do in government all the time. It's like, okay, you're a criminal. And look at the IRS as we talk about this. Think about what's going on with the IRS and many other agencies of this government. You're a criminal. You've committed a criminal act. But instead of being charged with what you've done, just go and resign and go away, and we'll pay you a commission. Now, of course, when it comes to Florida Notary Publics, there is no pension or any of that kind of stuff, not like there is for Lois, our good old friend from the IRS, where she's committed a—I think everybody is in agreement. Why she take the Fifth? Because she committed a crime. She wasn't going to incriminate herself. But she gets to walk away with $100-something thousand pension. It's crazy. And I believe as a public officer, you should be held more accountable, not less. And going back to the thing here with the Florida Notary Publics, they, as it stands today, they do not have to keep a journal. They keep no record. They are not required to keep a record. Now, I've had dealt with notaries who do. They have a journal. They you know, write down everything about who they spoke to, who signed it. Sometimes you sign their book as well as the actual document that they're notarizing. And that's all good, but the fact is they don't have to do that, and criminals don't do things like that. The ones who are going to commit the fraud against you don't do that. And you just think about something like a will. To go out there and file a fraudulent will, which was the other piece of this, so I'll talk about that in a minute, fraudulent will, and if it's notarized, most people would never think to challenge it or wouldn't know how to challenge it or wouldn't be willing to take the time to challenge it when, in fact, it's fraud. It's a way to steal. Grave robbing. This is the ultimate of it. And you think about all these senior citizens we have in Florida, and it's really not hard to see how easily these people become victims, but they're not the only ones. The same process is used for identity theft and mortgage fraud, too. Property theft, estate is a form of property theft, but you can do that too. And if you go watch the articles, the reports that Todd Orich did on Channel 9, WFTV, going out there and seeing a notary who goes out there and creates these fraudulent documents, selling somebody else's house to somebody else and getting cash. It's just unbelievable of how much they can do. And they do it because the state has no controls over these notaries. But anyway, which is why this bill is here, and this is why I do appreciate the fact that Senator Soto took the time to do this, and I'm going to read a piece of it here. And, of course, it always sounds like legal mumbo-jumbo, which is, you know, unfortunately the way law is all the time. You can't have things that make too much plain and simple speech, but anyway, it is a point to try to do this. Okay, a bill to be entitled relating to notary publics creating Section 117.015 Florida statute requiring a notary public to record certain information about each notarial act in a journal, requiring that the notary public retain a notary journal for a specified period of time, requiring a notary public to notify the Department of State if the notary journal is lost or destroyed during the retention period, providing that failure to comply providing that failure to comply with the notary general requirement constitutes grounds for suspension, non-renewal, or denial of a notary public commission, authorizing the department to adopt rules and forms providing an effective date. And then we go down, here are some of the details of it. And just so you know, it's Florida Statute 117.055. 117 is the one for the notary publics. 1055, requiring use of notary journal. 1, a notary public shall record the following information regarding each notarial act in a sequential paper or electronic journal at the time of each act. A, the date and time of the notarial act. The B, the type of notarial act. C, the type, title, name, or description of the document proceeding or transaction requiring a notarial act. The signer's printed name and signature, the signer's complete address, an indication that the signer is personally known to the notary public, or that the signer presented a specific form of identification pursuant to State Statute 117.05(5)(b)(12). Again, this is the way the law is out there. The notary must record the type, the unique identification number, the expiration date, and any identification presented. Two, the notary public must retain a notarial journal for at least 5 years following the date of the last entry into the journal. If a notarial journal, I can't talk today, is lost, stolen, misplaced, destroyed, or rendered unusable during the retention period, the notary public must immediately notify the Department of State in writing of the circumstances of the incident. Failure of a notary public to comply with this section constitutes grounds for suspension or non-renewal of commission of the notary public and grounds for the denial of any subsequent commission by the Executive Office of the Governor. And 4, the Department of State may adopt rules and forms to administer this section. And this act shall take effect July 1, 2014. So you need to make sure you contact your Florida State representative and senator and say yes to SB 172. And, I mean, if they challenge you, you would just have to say, well, why would you not do this to begin with? Why would you allow these people to go notarize things at will with no control? Are you trying to help promote identity theft? I mean, Florida is number one in identity theft, number one in property theft, number one in mortgage fraud. Very sloppy oversight on the side of the state. And there's only one reason that they wouldn't do this. It's because somebody in the banking or whatever industry is going to try to push back because they don't want controls over this stuff. There's no reason why you would not control and manage this kind of stuff. Absolutely none. And I did say I was going to be emailing this out to a lot of people here in Florida, and I will be doing that. Hopefully I'm going to get a chance to actually testify to the committee on this and explain what happened in my own case and how I found out how poorly Florida is doing this. I mean, Florida can go out there and buy up all sorts of land, massive land grab of the state of Florida, but they can't do the basic things that they're supposed to, which is this kind of oversight. So please get involved and make sure you let those in Tallahassee know what the right thing to do is. This is obvious. I mean, in my own opinion, this hasn't gone quite far enough because they don't do anything to help. There are legal consequences for violating for these types of fraud, notary fraud and stuff like that, but the state has been so weak on this stuff, it's unbelievable, which that would be the kind of thing I would also testify to if given the opportunity. So please get involved and do this. It's for every honest person is at risk to be the victim of notary fraud in the state of Florida and the recklessness. And then the other part of it was one person to oversee 400,000 notaries, it's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. And anybody can be a notary. Here it doesn't stipulate anything about the felony. And I think it does actually say you're not supposed to be a felony someplace else, but there's no background check. What they do, they say anybody can sign up to be a notary in the state of Florida. And as it stands today, the Florida notary is truly licensed to commit fraud. So make sure you share that information with others and contact Tallahassee. Contact your senator and your representative. Now, the other thing that Sherry mentioned earlier that just got my attention was about Boehner. And I'm like, wait a minute, because she said Boehner puts brakes on amnesty. Now, I've seen a couple of things out here, and it's possible, and, you know, I have people tell me that it doesn't do any good to protest this stuff. It doesn't. It does do some good. There is power in numbers if enough patriots, enough Americans can be counted and don't just ignore what's going on. So I went out there and I was looking, and I see the one article. There's actually been two things that have come through, and I'm going to share one of them with you. But this is good. Continue to pound Boehner and anybody in Congress. The illegal invasion of this country is not acceptable. Let's see if I can find Boehner's number here to share with everybody. If I do have his number, you can call the Speaker's office at any time, and you can leave a message. It gives you the option to go into it. If you don't want to talk to somebody, you can leave it on the recorded message, or you can talk to them. So the speaker's number is 202-225-0600. That is the speaker's office. The fax number is 202-225-5117. And then his regular D.C. office is 202-225-6205. So don't, and you can call and just leave a message. And here in Florida, let's see, where do I have Rubio's number here? I got all these numbers here in front of me. Call every one of them. Call them, fax them, and especially, like I say, Boehner. Mitch McConnell, make sure you pound on his door. With Mitch McConnell, he doesn't seem to, his fax machine doesn't seem to work half the time. So what I did, is, and for those representatives and senators that don't have a fax machine, I find out who's close by to them, and I send the fax to another office and said, please share this with the senator, and I did it with McConnell. Apparently his fax machine isn't working now. So I go in, and I did that sending something to Harry Reid's office once. So, okay, Harry Reid, he's the big dog in the Senate. So I sent it to him and said, could you please distribute this to Mitch McConnell? His fax machine isn't working. So go ahead and do that, because when they try to hide, we can't let them do that. So, okay, now this article that I'm reading here is townhall.com. Let's see, let me get to the top of it here. Okay, it's townhall.com. Reports House GOP to shelve major immigration reform legislation in 2014. Now, major immigration reform legislation, and I can kind of take that a couple of ways. That's why I say we cannot stop the pressure. We must continue to push forward on no amnesty. And you know what? When it comes to immigration, they don't have to pass anything. There's already laws protecting the border. Part of their job is to secure the nation, you know, defend and secure the American people, secure the homeland. Don't we have something called the Department of Homeland Security? Don't we have the Border Patrol? If they would enforce the current law and not let the dictator in the White House write his executive orders to say, Border Patrol, go home for the day. You're not going to be working for the next, you're not going to work for the next 4 years while I'm here. You're not going to be allowed to follow the law and deport people. So if they want to deal with that kind of stuff, fine. There is nothing else. Deal with enforcing laws. They do not need any immigration. They've already passed the bill to build the fence. They've already done all this stuff. They don't need new laws. They just need to do what they've already said they were going to do. Well, it's so superficial to say, oh, we're going to go do this, we're going to go do that. Wait a minute, you've already said that. You said that back in 1986. And of course, you've said it multiple times in the past few years. And if you want to know how to get the job done, go read what Eisenhower did. Remember we had this president by the name of Eisenhower? He knew how to secure the border without all these games going on. Go read how Eisenhower secured the border and stopped the illegal invasion of this country, because that's what it is. This is the illegal invasion of this country. And Ben Carson, if you're out there thinking it's not, I am so disappointed in you. And I don't know that I'll have time to actually go try to pull something up on the show tonight, but I will be checking into that because I really thought Ben Carson was the real deal. No party affiliate. We know the GOP has been courting him, trying to get him in there. But he has really been so much, I've agreed with so much of what he said. If he's out there with this amnesty nonsense, and he all of a sudden, you know, for anybody to support amnesty means you don't believe in the rule of law. You don't believe in the rule of law. You don't believe in national sovereignty. You don't believe in protecting the homeland. Because what we have going on at the borders is an illegal invasion of this country. Wake up, people. If you don't see this, you're drinking the wrong kind of Kool-Aid, and you're not going to survive. So, okay. Anyway, that was the name of the article. Reports House GOP to shelve major immigration reform legislation in 2014, which that by itself sounds good, but I'm just saying the shelve major, because you've got to be careful on the games they play when it talks about conferencing. They can go out there and write some kind of other bill, and then they try to slip it into S-744, which is an amnesty bill. It's not an immigration reform bill by any means. And make sure you call good old Rubio about that one. Okay, Boehner had reportedly been intent on bringing some form of reform package to the floor this year, but that was never entirely clear. He equivocated at a recent GOP retreat, and now it looks like he's backing off. Conservatives within his caucus have been grumbling bitterly about the timing, with at least one member suggesting that Boehner's speakership could be in jeopardy if he moved forward. Good. Boehner is a very weak leader. If they don't put the pressure on him to lead, he should be removed. Hey, I rather doubt Boehner was swayed by that sort of saber-rattling, but he apparently concluded that the fastest way to crack up a relatively unified party ahead of what should be a very good election cycle would be to schedule this political earthquake before November. Duh! And I would totally agree, because amnesty is not what you're supposed to do as a sworn officer of this government. As a elected sworn representative, whether that be a House representative or a senator, state, local, whatever, that is not what you're sworn to do. You're sworn to protect, not to destroy. And they seem to get this part really mixed up all the time. Okay, fast away, crack of the environment before the cycle. Righty supporters and opponents of reform alike have urged Republicans to avoid this unforced error. If these reports are accurate, leadership seems to have listened. Bear in mind that the speakers apparently had trouble rustling up the votes to make debt ceiling related demands on Keystone or Obamacare bailouts. Areas of broad consensus within the party and the country, immigration or amnesty, would be a battle royale that he didn't need and perhaps couldn't win. So pin the blame on Obama and wait until next year. Let's see here. How does the president factor into this? Didn't he just say he was open to a bill framed around House Republican statement of principles, which really only contained one significant difference from the Senate bill? Yes, but what Boehner would argue is that the rank-and-file members who may be willing to support some form of comprehensive approach to the issue would have cold feet because they don't trust this president to enforce any laws they may pass. Duh. Gosh, why would you say that? Hey, and then, of course, what is Congress doing to enforce the laws that required enforcing the laws? The president does not have the right to not enforce the laws. Go out there and promote the damage that's done by failing to report the laws or to enforce the laws. There's got to be plenty of victims out there from illegal immigration. These people, and as I was understanding Judge Napolitano, when the executive officer writes his own laws and bypasses the House, the challenge is to be a victim of the law. if you're not a victim of the law, then you don't have standing, kind of like what we were talking about earlier. So tell me, how do we not have people who are victims of amnesty and illegal immigration? We do. We have victims all over the place because of illegal immigration and failure to enforce that border. Those are the people who need to come forward and take the case to the court and sue the government for it. Sue them for failing to secure the homeland. Okay, let's see. So how do we, I lost my place here. Yes, but what Boehner would argue is that the rank-and-file members who may be willing to support some form of comprehensive approach to the issue have cold feet because they don't trust this president to enforce any law they may pass. Totally, to think anything else would be to be stupid. I mean, nothing personal, guys, but to be stupid. There's plenty of presidents to justify those fears, too, despite the jackals may say. Incidentally, the backbencher who's making noise about Boehner's gavel isn't opposed to all the reform. In fact, he's put forward a strong conservative alternative to the Senate legislation, which most conservatives find unacceptable. And he is an advocate of taking a stab at the immigration issue early in 2015, particularly if the House wins back the Senate. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? If President Obama can prove he is serious about enforcing the law, immigration reform should be one of the first things Republicans take up in 2015, said Representative Raul Labor, who's a Republican of Idaho. Labrador, excuse me, said Wednesday. I think it's a mistake for us to have an internal battle in the Republican Party this year about immigration reform, he said. I do think we need to address the issue, and I do think when we take back the Senate in 2014, one of the first things we should do next year, after we deal with certain economic issues, I think we should address the immigration reform issue. The president has a year to prove to us that he is willing to actually enforce the law. Okay. Among House Representatives, Labrada said there was overwhelming support for the idea of doing nothing this year on immigration, even among those who may agree with the principles outlined by the House leadership at last week's retreat in Cambridge, Maryland. So if you're dead set against any form of comprehensive reform, you have a year to gird your loins for a highly likely 2015 push. If Republicans take the Senate, any resulting bill will probably look more like the House principles than the Senate document. If Democrats maintain control, you better believe that many within the GOP will be eager to make a gesture of goodwill towards Latino voters ahead of the next presidential cycle. And right there is what is truly the crux of the whole thing. GOP will be eager to make a gesture of goodwill toward Latino voters ahead of the next presidential cycle. Now, what's wrong with that statement? If you're an American, what's wrong with that? So Latinos are more important than Americans. South Americans are more important than Americans in America. So who are they elected to represent? I keep getting this part confused. I thought they were elected to represent legal Americans. When did their job come to represent illegal lawbreakers? I mean, I know that's what Holder believes. I mean, we see what he does in his office there. But apparently the GOP believes the same thing. They have the same mentality as Holder when it comes to the rule of law. They don't care about Americans. They care about Latinos who aren't legally allowed to vote. And you're going to give them a pathway. You're going to make them legal, even though they can't vote. If you got a brain, you have to know this is stupid, nonsense, BS that they're trying to brainwash the dumbing down of the unfortunately dumbing down of Americans. It's nonsense. That's why it doesn't matter what they say here. Calling, keep pushing it. We are not going to talk about anybody who's in this country illegally until the borders are completely secure. And then we're going to talk about the true method of why we have all this illegal immigration, illegal invasion to begin with. And you know what? There's something really sick when anybody on that Supreme Court can say, you can't call somebody a criminal because they're illegal. Wait a minute. You're a Supreme Court justice. You're supposed to be a SME, if you will, a subject matter expert of the law. Illegal and crime, it's not a crime to be illegal. You can't call somebody who's illegal a criminal. What law school did you go to? And I think you all know who I'm talking about. Nonsense. Total nonsense. Let's see here. If I can find this one other article on that same subject. Okay, this one here, it's making reference to the same thing. Boehner puts brakes on amnesty. Okay. Sometimes I see the same article come through on a couple of emails. Oh, let's see what else. But when the GOP does this, they begin to act like they have some sensibility, but you just always got to be nervous because they're still out there saying, well, we're going to have to do that. We have to go after the Latino vote for 2016. We're not going after the American vote. And this is what would be so wonderful if the GOP could figure it out. But as long as I got Karl Rove out there, they'll never figure this out. Karl Rove is so symbolic, him and Mike Huckabee, of what the GOP establishment is. But if they could just figure out, you really should focus on Americans. I mean, Jeff Sessions says it all the time, and he is a Republican. He's a U.S. Senator. He has always said that. He's always said we really should follow the rule of law. He and Chuck Grassley have always been pretty much on that same side of that issue. But you got the Karl Rove mentality out there, that Karl Rove establishment mentality like John McCain and Lindsey Graham and these others who don't seem to have a clue what military. You would think John McCain would appreciate national security, but he doesn't. Yet both of these people are heavily involved in national security, yet they don't want to secure the nation. Isn't there something really stupid about that? Okay, so and Lindsey Graham has been extremely outspoken about Benghazi, and I think it's great, and I give him all the credit for that. But when it comes to anything else with national security, he doesn't believe in securing the homeland? Call Lindsey Graham and ask him, I mean, why do you care so much about Benghazi when you won't even secure our own homeland? You know? I mean, what happened in Benghazi is wrong. Hillary was wrong. I'll never get any argument out of me on that one. Let's see if we can find. We've only got about 10, 13 minutes left here. Let's see if I can find this one other thing. Numbers USA was saying, keep pushing. Do not cave in to any of this. We have got to keep pushing back on this stuff. Oh, the other thing, a Bush-Rubio ticket. You know, this again will show the mentality of the Republican Party. Would the Republican Party be dumb enough to go out there and push a John Ellis Bush, Marco Rubio ticket for 2016? Would they be that dumb? Nobody in Florida is going to vote for him. Well, maybe the Democrats might vote for him. So if they're going for the Democrat vote in Florida, that might help them. But the true constitutionalists are not going to vote for him. They're just not going to do it. Yeah, let's see here. Checking one other thing as we speak. Okay, I cannot find the other article, but there's stuff out there, and it's encouraging to see that they realize we're not going away. To push it, and I guess, you know, when you think about it, the other thing, too, because we all know, I mean, everybody's heard about American Operation Spring in May. It's May 16th. Now, those are going to say, well, there may only be a small handful. Who knows how big this thing is really going to be? those kind of things. I don't think anybody knows. But we know what happened with the Tea Party and a couple events in Washington. There were massive people there, even though the media didn't really want to report it. There were people there. I was there, and the outrage people have. So can you imagine what would happen in May of this year if the GOP is out there pushing amnesty too? And, you know, we were talking about this Operation Spring, Operation American Spring earlier. And, you know, and I understand what people say, the risk of martial law. And I really do have concern that my military, the military of the United States, will turn against its own people because of what has happened. But I also know that if we don't do something, if we don't come together, unite as the American people, and say we want our country back, no violence. This is not anything to do with violence. It's a march on D.C. I just don't know what's going to happen. We continue to stand on the sidelines like we are now. That's not going to solve the problem either. The two protests, it was actually more than two, but some of the major Tea Party events in D.C., it did get people's attention, and that's why they had to start insulting the Tea Party movement. And, of course, that's why the GOP tried to take over the Tea Party. But they have to understand, true Tea Partiers, such as myself, don't care about political parties, and they don't care about Karl Rove. And, you know, Mike Huckabee says a lot of the right things on TV, but we all see what he does in the smoke-filled rooms. So people, that we know what these people do. We're not as stupid as you want to think we are. We are much more informed and aware of what is going on. I will end tonight on a little bit of a joke. It's sort of a joke, but it's really not. It's a political quiz. It's what it's called. It's an email. Some of you may have got the same thing. Something you might not know but need to know and definitely will want to know. Okay. Six trivia questions to see how much history you really know. Be honest. It's kind of fun and revealing. If you don't know the answer, make your best guess. Answer all questions. No cheating before looking at the answers. And no, the answer to these questions isn't all Barack Obama. Who said it? We're going to take things away from you on behalf of the common good. Karl Marx, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Barack Obama, none of the above. It's time for a new beginning, for an end to government of the few, by the few, and for the few, and replace it with shared responsibility for shared Lenin, Mussolini, Barack Obama, Idi Amin, and none of the above. We can't just let business go as usual. We can't let business as usual go on. I had a hard time saying that. And that means something has to be taken away from some people. And Boris Yeltsin, Nikita Khrushchev, I'm sorry I'm saying that wrong, and Barack Obama, none of the above. And then we have to build political consensus that requires people to give up a little bit of their own in order to create common ground. That word common ground is so important because common core, communism, I'm having a problem tonight. I can't talk tonight. Hugo Chavez, Kim Jong, Barack Obama, none of the above. I certainly think the free market has failed. Karl Marx, Lenin, Barack Obama, none of the above. Okay. And then I think it's time to send a clear message to what has become the most profitable sector in the entire economy, but they are being watched. I think it's time to send a clear message to what has become the most profitable sector in the entire economy, that they are being watched. Saddam Hussein, Barack Obama, Milosevic, none of the above. Now you go down to read the answer, and all of the answers are none of the above. That's pretty scary. None of the above. Want to know something scary? She could be the next president unless this information is sent out to our friends and family. And I did forward this on to my friends and family. The answer is Hillary. Hillary Clinton. None of the above, none of the above, none of the above. Hillary, 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 Hillary. And it gives the date when she said these things. 2004, 2007, 2005. And want to know something really scary? She could be the next president unless this information gets sent out to our friends and family. So, and you know, there's so many of these things you would have thought Obama would have said. He's probably thinking it, but didn't say it. So go out there and keep that in mind. And if you haven't seen that email, or if you do get it, I should say, forward it on to others. Let's see what else here. Well, we are down to the last 4 minutes. On that note, I think we'll kind of wrap it up here. Please get involved. Please face the truth. Speak the truth. Face the truth. Then we can save America. Some of the stuff is just so basic. We shouldn't have to say, why secure the border? That's what these people's job is. Their number one job is security and safety for the American people. And that's the only thing they don't want to do. That's your most important job, and you don't want to do it. And here in Florida, with all the issues with the land grab, why, Rick Scott, why is it more important for you to buy up land instead of fixing our infrastructure? Every Floridian, and you know the tourists who come here too, ought to contact that governor's office and say, why is it more important for you to buy up land instead of fixing our infrastructure? Why are you selling off Florida to foreign interests? Because that's what he's doing. The stuff is all right in front of us. And, you know, those who want to still think there's some kind of this conspiracy loons and things like this, I just don't know what it would take to make you realize what's really going on. Do people truly believe that 9/11 didn't really happen? Do you truly believe there's nobody else out there like a Hitler or a, our good old friend Saddam Hussein? What would make you think? And then, of course, we won't even talk about what's going on in Russia right now with the Olympics and all the other mess going on there. But what makes you think that we don't have people in this country that aren't communists? They are. We have people in public office today who are openly communist. So how does the communist support the Constitution? So anyway, like I said, I'm going to wrap this up. The main thing is pay attention to what's going on. Be an American. Demand that they vote, that they represent Americans. They vote for Americans. Their public vote is for the American people, not the illegals. And I don't care where, if you're an American, you're an American. If you're something else, you're something else. This is about America. This is about America and Americans. We have to demand representation. So seek the truth. Face the truth. Please help save America. And please, dear Lord, God bless the USA and help save us. Have a good night, everyone.